Been talking with the Lord a little bit today, and He's given me some good answers to some things that I spoke of. While He was talking to me, He also spoke to me about you again, Brother Carl, and said that He was going to undertake for your situation. You didn't have nothing to worry about. So, that reminds me, Brother Don Kleinex was also having a problem, and it seemed like there wasn't a remedy for it, but the Lord spoke to me and said that He would work it out to Don's benefit, and told Don we'd pray, and so he got a letter tonight that unless the Lord should suffer Satan to do something out of the ordinary, the Lord solved this problem for him, and he was pretty happy. After praying the other night for God to work miracles in the life of the people, two different ones testified tonight concerning miracles that God had worked in their behalf. And one of the sisters needed money for a doctor bill, and God worked a miracle and sent more than enough through the mail. Another sister said that someone was going to pay their family fare to fly to California. Sounds like a miracle. I don't care if somebody done that for us once in a while. That's great, folks. God has done it for me. The other night we asked for a miracle for one of the girls that was having severe problems, had been to about how many doctors? Nine doctors, and God worked a miracle, and she went right over the next morning and began to eat. She hadn't been able to handle anything in the esophagus, and they found a great big place here, and God worked a miracle for her. And Brother Don Kleinex told me that God had worked His miracle for him, restoring his family. And the other night I felt, as we prayed seriously, sincerely, from the depths of my heart, I said it before the audience because I felt it, I believed it, I saw it coming, that God was working miracle after miracle for different people. It was a very simple service, and we was laying hands on people, and people were making contact just like that for a miracle. And God worked miracle after miracle. So I told the people, I said, we'll definitely be hearing from it. And I'm expecting to hear numbers of miracles outside of this right here. Because God worked them the other night. And there was people that was actually believing that and actually receiving that. You know, it's wonderful. It's not hard for God to work a miracle. It's hard for us to believe it. That's where the hard part comes in. It's not hard for Him to work a miracle, but it's hard for us to believe it and accept the fact that He will, on simple terms of believing, work us a miracle. But God does, God can, God will, God has, God is doing it. That is what is so beautiful, and I just believe it. I just believe it. It just thrills my soul. I just believe it. It's something in me that makes my faith just be simple and convinced that He is doing it, He will do it, He will continue to do it. That's just a simple, down-to-earth conviction of my heart. It thrills my soul and excites me every time I think about it. And the reason for that is He's worked miracle after miracle for me and my family in every way of life. I've seen the Lord work numbers of miracles in healing and divine deliverance. The miraculous that was not a healing, it took a miracle to do it. God did it by a miraculous act numbers of times because healing wasn't sufficient. Healing is sufficient for certain things, but there are certain things there is no healing for, and there is no healing medicines for them. So then God has to work a miracle, and I've seen Him do that numbers of times, and I thank God for it. What I want is to see my people's faith register, really register for the miraculous in God, that they might have the very desires of their heart. No reason why they shouldn't have it. See, don't look at me with a question mark as to say, well, why don't you have yours? I've had mine 10 times over. My cup has been filled to the brim and run over for many years, and still being filled the more and running over the more. And God has given me the very desire of my heart. And I mean that in no little way, to the ever-expanding broadness of not only throughout the world, the entirety of the world, but throughout the entirety of the universe. From that which was before the world and that which is after the world and all that is in the world. He's let me know about before the world and after the world and all that's in the world, and gave me everything I wanted of the world. So then he's been good to me, and he's still blessing me, and my cup is still running over in great abundance. The Bible said, he that walketh upright before God shall lack no good thing. That's what I believe in. See, the lacking of no good thing. No good thing. That means he gives you miracles, he gives you healing, he gives you discernment, he gives you wisdom, he gives you prophecy, he gives you tongues, he gives you interpretation, he gives you all the gifts of the Spirit, he gives you the money, he gives you goods, he gives you everything, everything. The Bible said all things are yours, so I thank God for all things because they're mine. Isn't that simple enough? Who thought God made a mistake when he said that? I just praise God for the abundance of all things, and I go on enjoying all things, and whenever I need them, I want them, they're there. See, the Bible said the thing that grieved God is that we do not serve him with joyfulness of heart for the abundance of all things. So the end that he's given it to us, Brother Gerald, I just enjoy it and go right on. And I know that always, as always, when the Lord has in mind for somebody to minister, he has in mind to give us something. And though we don't understand it, you know, we just kind of bump elbows with each other, and we're around here and we fellowship, and we don't esteem one another. We say, well, that's my brother, you know, that's Brother Jim. But on the other hand, it's more than Brother Jim. See, when a man's born again, that's the Son of God, that's the voice of God in the earth. And that means that people who we rub elbows with a lot of times, we don't esteem. It means that they should be esteemed because they have a voice that can bring a word from God. And if the Lord inspires us, then we look for a word from God. Now, Jimmy to his family is just Jimmy. Sister Francis is his son, and Sister Sheila's dad, and the wife's husband there, and whatever, you know. And naturally, he's without honor in his own family. That's just Jim, the boy Jim. They said, this is the carpenter's son. You don't expect nothing out of him. We know him, and we know his dad and mother and whatever. But more than the carpenter's son, it is the temple of the great Holy Spirit. The great Holy Ghost walks and talks, and that within a human body. And when God begins to move and God begins to stir a human being and inspire a human being, it is not him speaking and giving utterance, but it's that great, wonderful, heavenly Spirit. You know, most people make a great mistake in not understanding God and not understanding heaven. And they don't know how to search for God, and they don't know how to serve God, and they don't know where to look for God. That's the bad part, see? That's where they get, as the world calls it, a hang-up. But let me just drop this in to you in a compact, comprehensive way. Brother Taylor reminds me that I used to use the terms a compact, compound, comprehensive statement. So then let me do that in a compound, comprehensive statement here. See, first of all, ask yourself this simple question. Why do people preach? Preachers. Why do they preach that someday we're going to heaven? Why do they preach that? And why do hundreds of thousands of people sit around and say amen and wait to go to heaven? And why do people preach that if we are faithful and if we are loyal, God will then give unto us eternal life and the day to come? And at the judgment, he will reward us. Why do people listen to that and say amen? Oh, that's good. There's nothing wrong with it. That's good, you know, to preach that if the people will thoroughly explain. But folks, let me tell you as a truth, in a simple way to understand, eternal life is not coming. Eternal life is already here. The kingdom of heaven is not in the future. It's now at the present. The Lord preached the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and receive the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is within you. So that means that eternal life is within your spirit. And that eternal life is Christ's spirit on the inside of your spirit. And there is no eternal life but that hope of glory. So then that means if you are born again, then what is eternal life? What is eternal life? It is the spirit that is within you. That is eternal life. You either have it or don't have it. There's no past, present, nor future that's got anything to do with it whatsoever. Your past doesn't have anything to do with it. The future doesn't have anything to do with it. The present doesn't have anything to do with it. It has nothing to do with eternal life. Then what about heaven? Where then is heaven? Heaven is the same way. The future has nothing to do with heaven. Nor does the present have anything to do with heaven. Nor does the past have anything to do with heaven. Then where is heaven? Is it a dimension away? Where is heaven? Eternal life is the spirit that is within you. And heaven is the state of bliss that your body experiences because of that spirit that is within you. And the only conflict with heaven, the only conflict with paradise, is the powers of Lucifer that infiltrates the flesh, that wars against your faith and confidence in the eternal promises of eternal security. That's how simple it is, folks. Millions of people will miss it and be the most religious people that ever walked the earth. But I'm telling you the truth, so help me God. That's the truth. And I hope that if you don't believe it, that you'll try to prove me wrong and you'll get in the Bible and you'll read until you feel sure that you can prove me wrong. And then when you come back after many months, days, or years of seeking the Lord, we'll join hands and rejoice over your new discovery. And we'll be fellows. So then, I'm going to say this and then get out of the way here for a moment, so Jim can talk to us. But remember this, if having Christ in your spirit makes your spirit one spirit with his spirit, and that eternal life, and if the kingdom of heaven within you releases its radiance from within into your blood genetics to create a state of bliss, the same as Adam and Eve had when they shared the presence of that great light, until it withdrew. If that is heaven, then that means that the person that does not have Christ on the inside can have only one, and that's Lucifer. And the same thing that torments you when you lay down at night and causes you nightmares, someday when you close your eyes in death, or what is referred to as that everlasting sleep, when you close your eyes, the spirit on the inside of you, which is the devil, that spirit will torment you throughout eternity. Because right now, you're in that condition. It's not future, past, nor present. It has nothing to do with it. If Satan is in your spirit is one with his spirit, and that means that that is death and eternal damnation to your soul. And hell is the environment that is created by his torturing, tormenting presence on the inside of you. And the only conflict with that is the fact that there is blood on the seat of the atonement that is in heaven that brings grace to give God and his people a chance to talk to you about the good things and you to hear the lovely blessings, rhythm and music and joyfulness of your surroundings. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the devil was in heaven in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Because those people are in heaven. But they don't have heaven in them. So then their flesh enjoys it. And a lot that we could say about that tonight. But you just remember what I'm telling you. Somebody would say, well, I believe hell is a lake of fire. No, hell ain't a lake of fire. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And some say that the grave is hell. No, hell is a burning place. But it's not burning with the fire that you think about. It's not the kind of fire that you think about. Nor is the lake of fire the kind of fire that you think about. But it definitely is fire. It definitely is fire, a consuming fire. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? You know, a lot of good things I could say about Jim, Brother Taylor, others, and I have said a lot of good things about him because you do it to the least of these, you do it unto Christ. And a lot of times people make smart remarks about preachers, about God's people, not realizing that they did that unto God. And people say good things, they do that unto God. And that we're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh, but still at the same time, there's none good but God. All of our goodness is of God, else it is but filthy rags. There is none good but God. Let's sing this little song. Sing it every once in a while. It's called, I'll Give the Glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Can we sing it again now? I'm going to give all the glory to Jesus. Sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Let's lift our hands together now. You know, I want to say again, don't get confused. Don't let anybody misrepresent things to you. Stay in the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Found your faith on the Word of God. And remember what I told you. Eternal life is not past nor future. Eternal life is not present. It's not past. It's not future. It's not present. It's Christ. Eternal life is Christ. The resurrection is not past. One time there were some men preaching that the resurrection was past. It really upset Paul. Neither is the resurrection future, because Martha one time confused that thing. And she was looking for a resurrection of her brother in the future. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. So it's not past, it's not present, it's not future, it's Christ. The kingdom of heaven, what is the kingdom of God? Neither past, present, nor future. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is Christ. All that God is, He poured into Christ. And Christ is the everlasting, the eternal, the before, the after, the was, the I am. Christ is the great, wonderful light, the bright, the morning star, the I was, the I am, the I shall be. Christ. He is all and all. Without Him, there was nothing made that is made. All things was made for Him and by Him, and for His pleasure were they created. Christ is the origin of all existence. Christ is, even before existence, He was. He is and shall be. The day spring from on high that has visited His people, the bright and the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. See, Christ in you is your hope of glory. So then Christ is the glory of God, and He's heir to the glory of God, and He is the kingdom of God. Everything is within Christ. God rules from within His kingdom, which is Christ. And where is that kingdom? It is Christ in you. Christ in you is the kingdom of heaven within you. Christ within you is the kingdom of God within you. And without Christ, there is no kingdom of God within you. So then eternal life is Christ. Resurrection and life is Christ. Heaven, that's why you sit together in heavenly places. That's why you can sit together in heavenly places. Because the love of God is shed abroad within your heart. And that wonderful radiance of everlasting joy is there. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. How could you dwell any place else? Christ is within you. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, there's coming a heaven. If Christ is hid in God, the Bible said, Christ, whom the heavens have received, then if we are hid with Christ in God, then that means the heavens have received us. And that means that we are in heaven and should rejoice. Christ dwells where? He dwells in heaven. For the Bible said that the heavens have received Him. How is it then He is in the midst of two or three that's in His name? Because that is heaven. Someday eyes will behold it. Someday hearts will understand it. Someday it will be made manifest, not that which is coming, but that which always was. And someday people will see, not that which was, but that which is and has always been. So then you either have eternal life or you don't have eternal life. And if you don't have eternal life, then call upon the name of Jesus Christ that He might come and live in your heart, that you might have eternal life. For folks, to believe is not eternal life. But to have Christ in you from believing is eternal life. Many hundreds and thousands, even millions of people believe. But have you received Christ in your heart since you believe? If you have believed truthfully, leaned upon him truthfully, followed him truthfully, desired him truthfully, then he hath come into your heart. And when he came in, your spirit recognized him, your spirit received him. And thus you received eternal life. So then when you received eternal life, you passed from death unto life. Brethren, death hath no power over us. Condemnation hath no power over us. We pass from death unto life. The proof of this is because we love with the love of God one another. So then, love is as strong as death. If the love of God abides within you, then death is defeated. It's a wonderful thought tonight to know that you have eternal life and can never die. So then we are waiting for what? For heaven? No. For eternal life? No. For the resurrection? No. What are we waiting for then? We are just merely moving from glory to glory to develop, to fully develop ourselves, that we might from glory to glory be changed in this outer man into the glorious image of God. That is, that the inner glory might be made manifest in these mortal bodies, that the world may see what we are and not what we're going to be. What we've always been, even before the world ever was, in the mind of Christ. For God has given us, the Bible tells us, God has given us this wonderful life in Christ before the world ever was. But it was brought to light at Calvary. For the Bible said that through Calvary, the immortality was brought to light. That means that to be immortal, of those that are immortal, not mortals, but immortality, them that are immortal, it was brought to light, to the understanding, to be able to know, to hear, to understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. It was brought to your knowledge, your understanding, immortality. Do you have immortality? Do you have immortality? Have you passed from death unto life? Job said, I'm waiting, but I'm just waiting for my change. That's all. To wit, the redemption of my body, because I am immortal. And this mortal that I tabernacle in, it's going to put on immortality at the chains, at the sounding of the last trump. But beloved friend, if you don't have the eternal Christ within your spirit, if you don't have the resurrection within you, if you have not passed from death unto life, that body will never put on immortality, because there isn't going to come any days where you're going to be suddenly saved and changed into an immortal person. There isn't going to be any days like that. If you're waiting for that, you're in bad shape. You're deceived. You must get eternal life right now. And from glory to glory, as Christ works inwardly in your behalf, he'll cause you to put on immortality. It takes a mind of God to find immortality for the body. And Paul said, I want to present you blameless body, soul, and spirit. And it takes the mind of God to find immortality for the body. It takes the study of medical science to find healing medicines for your bodily genes. But it takes the mind of God to find the remedy for sin and to bring your body into immortality. Do you want your body to be immortal? Do you want to keep it? Do you want to lose it? Do you want to lay it down? Jesus said, I can lay it down or take it up. Life to mortals consists of the body. A lot we could say about that. But life to Christians consists of the spirit. You are dead to the flesh. You're not in the flesh. If you've been born again, you are a quickening spirit. Life to you does not consist of mortality. You pass from mortality to immortality, and it will be manifested. The world will see it. Now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be like as to your immortality. But ye shall take on your immortality at his appearing. And every man that hath this hope within himself hath the hope of glory, which purifieth himself, his heart, even as he that is approaching is pure. While you've got your hands up and while we're thinking on Jesus tonight, remember, tomorrow's another day, another opportunity to do something for God. You're still in the land of the living, folks. But you don't know how long you're going to be in the land of the living. They're passing away. Every day they're passing away. One by one, they're aging. And they're passing away. You're a day older today than you was yesterday. You're a year older now than you was a year ago. You're 10 years older now than you was 10 years ago. And you'll continue to age. You'll continue to change. Over and over. But while you are still radiant with youth or life flowing through the genes, you better do something, because the parasite Lucifer, interwoven with your outer being, is sapping your life. That's why you grow old. Someone would say, Brother Pike, why is it that this body can last 1,000 years or thereby with people like Noah and Methuselah, and then it wears out so quick to us because they didn't have the knowledge of right and wrong. Satan did not have the advantage to sap their life, to oppress them, to destroy them. Where much is given, much is required. To fail to do it brings death. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Sin yields forth death. So then you age because Lucifer, the parasite, is living your life and taking your life. And God cannot restore it. God cannot restore life to anyone that allows Lucifer to sap life, because God would be guilty of supporting an unworthy evil cause to sustain a life for an evil one to destroy and to bring all malice and evil to the human family. So then he cannot restore it. He cannot reimburse you. Satan is taking your life. Thus, the more he takes your life, the older you get. The more your body dries up and withers up. Doesn't matter how much you eat or how much exercise you take or how many vitamins you have. It won't stop it. You got to get the parasite out. You got to get the killer out. You say, Brother Pike, can I do that? The Bible tells us that God has destroyed him that hath power over death. That for the believer, but we've got to take hold, as Jim said, and believe. Believe him out. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you can't do that. You just have to wait for the change. Why did Enoch do that? How did Enoch do it? How did Elijah and Moses pass on over? How did Paul get into the third heaven? How did John do it? How did Jesus appear in glory? We can believe right on, folks. Believe for strength and power. The Bible said some will live longer by reason of strength. Jesus said, I'm your strength. Be strong in the power of my might. I am the unyielding, the unwavering, the everlasting strength. If you want to live longer, even eternally, get eternal strength. Can it be done? It can be done. It is being done. While you've got your heads bowed, while you've got your eyes closed, while you're meditating, while you're thinking on these things, Could I ask Brother Daryl Bennett to come down here tonight and dismiss us in a word of prayer? Think on it, folks. You've still got your strength. Do something for God. One day it's going to leave you. Believe you me, the more you work for God. As Jimmy said, stay up all night or whatever if you'll trust in Him. There's a song I wrote, trusting in Him, He will not fail me. Trusting in Him, He'll show me the way. Let's believe. Samson got that extra strength because he believed. Those men that lived long got extra strength because they believed. Moses done without his food, but had strength because he believed. Let's believe. Let's believe.